Hello, everybody. As always, this is Nerd Spastics.
May the fourth be with you.
Always. I'm Sean.
And I'm Tristan.
And this is the news for the week of April 27th. As you know, we didn't have an episode last week, so we could bring you the review of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Which was fantastic in IMAX.
Yes, we saw it in IMAX 3D, and we... You know, it was a great experience. We will go over our review later in the show. Obviously, today is May the 4th.
Star Wars Day.
Star Wars Day. So, you know, I am excited. You know, obviously, I wish I could watch the original versions of the films and not the, you know, special editions. But, you know, things happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, George Lucas has decided to tweak as opposed to just leaving it the way it was.
I really wish he would not tweak as much, because it tweaks me. So, obviously, if I want to watch the original versions, I have to go to my VHSs, but I will watch the Blu-ray versions I do have.
Yeah, or if you... There is someone who did make a despecialized version of A New Hope by piecing together a bunch of different sources. And the person apparently does color correction for a living, so he actually knew what he was doing. And from what I've heard, from what I've read about it, it actually looks really good. I want to download it just to check it out.
Yeah, I've actually watched the prequels, the re-edits. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, those are really good. Basically, they take like episode 1 and 2 and whatever, and they take out Jar Jar completely, which is great. Makes the film 20 times better already. And then they like take out all the unnecessary things. And to be honest, it makes like episode 1 like an hour.
Wow.
But the story is so much better, and it's so much like, yeah, it flows better.
Takes out all the fluff. Like, same thing, there's someone who took all three Hobbit movies and made it into one film and took out kind of all the extra, the love story and stuff that wasn't in the books, and apparently like it just works a lot better.
Yeah, they ended up doing that with episode 2, where they took out all the love scenes between Anakin and Padme.
I haven't watched episode 1 or 2 since I saw them in the theater, so it'd actually be worth checking those out just to kind of see the story again.
I have to agree, like, after I watched the re-edits, like, I haven't watched the original since, like, I mean, I've watched episode 3 because Revenge of the Sith I didn't feel was as bad and was actually a pretty decent movie.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the bunch.
Which is a pretty sad highlight, to be honest with you, but obviously, you know, you always go back to New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. So those are the keys when you want to watch anything Star Wars related.
Yeah, so my hope is at Christmas time or something like that, before the new movie comes out, we will see an original theatrical version available on Blu-ray.
Yeah, and you know, we also get Star Wars Battlefront.
Yes.
And we also get the book prequels to the new films, so that'll be kind of cool too.
Yeah, so even though they kind of got rid of all the previous book canon that had existed, they're rebooting it and doing new book canon.
Yeah. So let's just jump right in here with toasty video game news and get this thing started. Toasty! All right. So the first bit of news we have is a sad one, actually, a little bit. Silent Hill was canceled.
Yeah, this is really disappointing because there hasn't been a Silent Hill game around for quite a while, and they just had a great, unique atmosphere.
Yeah, the teaser, they actually had a playable teaser on the PlayStation Store, and that was taken down last week.
Yeah, however, if you did download it originally and you deleted it, you can re-download it at least.
Yeah, and it seemed, I saw it being played. I don't have a PS4, so I couldn't download it myself, but I did see it being played, and I saw some video, and it looked really creepy and really kind of cool, actually, though.
Yeah, I watched a couple streams, so if you haven't seen it, basically, you're making your way through this house, and you do it over and over, but each time you rewalk that path, something different has changed, and, like, the atmosphere is really well done.
Yeah, it's really creepy, and, like, there's, like, I mean, when you have a game with a dead fetus, or a fetus in a sink talking to you, it's kind of weird. Like, just, you know... So apparently they've been making, you know, plans to make another Silent Hill game. It was canceled, and I guess it's more because of a splitting between the company and the creator.
Yeah, so Hideo Kojima? I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, you might be. I don't know.
But so he's also famous for, because he's the creator of the Metal Gear Solid games and everything, but he was working on the new Silent Hills game, but him and Konami recently had a split. He's going to be finishing Metal Gear Solid 5, which comes out this fall, but after that, he's done. And they've already removed like his symbol from the company's website and everything, so they're splitting ties.
Yeah, like completely. And that's it's kind of sad because you see a lot of great stuff come from him from that company. So, I mean...
Yeah, and he's been with that company, you know, since the beginning.
Yeah, really.
So, I mean, he helped build it into what it is. And, well, if Microsoft or Sony is smart, they'll buy him up to have him in-house for one of their in-house studios.
No, it really would be smart. It'd probably be the best thing to do for them, especially Microsoft, if they want to start competing a little more with Sony.
I mean, they dropped their exclusives.
They dropped their prices, which made them come up with sales for consoles, but for exclusives and stuff, they need that.
Yeah, so if they could get him to develop an exclusive game for their platform, that would be a big win because he has fans worldwide.
Yeah, it really would be.
But in the meantime, hopefully we will. They have said that there are plans for more Silent Hill games in the future, but this specific one that he was working on, Silent Hills, is canceled.
Yeah, so I mean, they're not going to kill the franchise, which I don't know. You know, either way, it's still good. But they have to cancel this one because he was working on it.
Yeah, and the fact that they had a playable demo makes it seem like they must have been fairly far.
Yeah,
into
they must
development
have been
of
pretty
it.
Far in. I mean, I know Norman Reedus from Walking Dead and like Boondock Saints was already casted, and they had his look-alike and everything on the game and like voiceovers some of it. So I mean. They already had to cancel that out right away. So.
Yeah, so I'm curious kind of what percentage of the game they had completed and how big of a loss they're taking and if they'll be able to repurpose that into some other Silent Hill game led by someone else.
I don't know if they will be. I mean, they'll be able to. I mean, maybe they'll get Norman Reedus to come back for a different Silent Hill game, but at the same time, it's going to be tough to come back from that kind of loss.
Yeah, so or they might just scrap the whole thing and start fresh, which would really set them back timeline-wise if they want to put out another Silent Hill game soon for this generation.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit, and at this point, they're way behind Resident Evil, and that's kind of their competition when it comes to those kind of games.
Yeah, I mean, but Resident Evil has gone into more of the action.
I agree, and I haven't
direction
liked
of it.
It.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't played a Resident Evil game since 4.
Yeah, 4, and even, I know, I'm going to get a lot of slack for this. I know 4, a lot of people liked 4. I did not like 4. I liked 1, 2, and 3.
I liked 4 a lot. 4 was a lot of fun on the GameCube.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, when I think of Resident Evil, I think of puzzles. I think of, like, the slow going in, like, looking around a corner. Is something there? Walking by a window 5 times, or finally a bunch of crows or a dog to come out and kill you. You know, not the... Let's hurry up and shoot everybody and like get through this and run through. No, that's not Resident Evil. That's some other different game. If you want to do that, do it with some different game, not Resident Evil.
Yeah, and kind of what I liked about the Silent Hills is what they're going is more for like atmospheric type of a situation as opposed to like, oh, we're just going to throw hordes of zombies at you and it's going to be an action shooter.
Yeah.
So it seemed like it was kind of keeping with kind of that original feel as opposed to going as just a pure action game.
Yeah, it was their way of getting there, I think. It was the in-between step, I think, and I still didn't like it. I kind of liked the original, you know, open the door, the slow opening door, and yeah. Like the walking up the steps creepily. That's Resident Evil to me. I like that.
Well, I mean, part of that was all just so they could load as well and not have loading
still,
screen.
It was a great way to do it. It built in, you know, it was great.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, well, we'll see what they end up doing with. But in other video game news, Valve has shut down paid mods.
Yeah, this was a little interesting. To be honest, like, it just got started.
Yeah, so less than a week after paid mods premiered, they decided to drop them. I mean, there was a petition going around that had over 50,000 signatures. They got a lot of backlash over coming out with paid mods.
Yeah, because it wasn't Skyrim Stream, like, the first game to get into it, like the workshop.
So they've had for a little while like the Steam Workshop, which enables people to develop mods for games that are out there, but until now they've all just been free. And so Skyrim has a huge modding community, and that was the first one they chose to introduce paid mods for.
Yeah, it makes sense. If it's your biggest one, go with it.
Yeah, but they got a lot of backlash from people saying like, well, this thing has always been free, why all of a sudden do we have to pay for something, and what if it's not any good? And I have no issue with people making mods and charging for them. You know, it's like, all right, if you put all this time and energy into this product and you want to put it out there and charge a couple bucks for it, I have no issue with that. But I think the problem, bigger problem is so much stuff is built off of other people's stuff. Is okay, hey, I made this mod, I put it out there for free, but then someone else took a piece of this mod and then made something else and is charging for it. So, well, what gives? I should get a piece of that because I was the original creator of it.
Yeah, I mean, it really does make sense. I mean, if you're going to create something and then have to pay for it as well, it just doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind it is good, but just like in a situation where it's a modding community, it's really tough to kind of police that and then say, okay, who actually owns the rights to this? And the way Valve had set this up is Valve would get a piece of the money as well as the original publisher, since they're the original game developer, and as well as the mod creator. So it was basically split three ways.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're creating something and all of a sudden you create it within this, you don't own it completely. I mean, right now they own it completely.
Well, I don't know if there's really any ownership in general because it's just something they're creating.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So, I mean, they're just putting it out there for free. But then as soon as you start putting a price tag on it, and then that gets into issues of like, okay, who is actually the creator of it, and how do you do intellectual rights for that type of a thing?
And I'm going to be honest, with stuff like mods and stuff, once you put a price tag on it, I kind of really don't want it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point. Like, it's a mod, you know, you're expecting not the best, you know, at the same time. Like, it's just something extra. You're not really shouldn't be paying for that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of cool mods out there for Skyrim. You know, there's just simple things where instead of the moon, it's a Death Star or something like that. But then there's other mods that completely change the way you play the game.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's been a lot of those for Grand Theft Auto 5 lately, mm-hmm. like the big mods for that.
Yeah, which I think it's awesome that the publishers enable that so people can change the way you play their game and that people are willing to put in all that time and effort to make these mods.
Well, the thing with, I guess, Grand Theft Auto 5, though, is because of all the mods, they just put out an update with the mods won't work.
Oh, really?
For Grand Theft Auto 5. That's actually a big deal. So many mods have been made since Grand Theft Auto 5 came out for the PC a few months ago, and now all of a sudden they are putting out Rockstar is putting out this thing where you can no longer, you know, mod the game.
Yeah, or they're, like, putting out a patch to the game that breaks all previous mods. So
pretty much,
like,
yeah.
So there's always that kind of danger when the original publisher decides, oh, hey, this needs an update because of an issue we found, but then all of a sudden that breaks all this other stuff, which they have no incentive to support. It's great that they do, but it's like, well, this isn't part of our game. This isn't what you're paying for.
Yeah, which brings us back to the paid mods. You paid for this. You put some money down on this, all these mods. All of a sudden, they get an update a week later. They're all done. You've just wasted your money.
Yeah, and then in that case, and then that falls on the developer of those mods to then update it so that it works. At the same time, every time iOS or Android gets updated, a lot of times those mods have to be updated as well to work with the new operating system.
So overall, I just don't think paid mods is a good idea in general, and I'm glad it's kind of gone, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue with it in theory, because it's like, all right, if you put all this effort into it and you want to charge a couple bucks for it, that's fine. But the actual implementation of it, especially in something where it's a free modding community is what it's built upon, that's a tough pill to swallow.
So in other news, one of my favorite games, The Last of Us, apparently the DLC for Left Behind is coming as a standalone download as of May 12th, which I am very excited for.
Yeah, kind of a odd thing to do is to release the DLC as a standalone game.
Yeah, but to be honest, it kind of makes sense with, it was released for PS3 and PS4. So let's say you bought the original game on PS3, but you didn't do the download for PS3, so you want to go PS4, you know?
Yeah, so it's kind of for people who originally played the game when it came out on PS3, they've upgraded to a PS4, never played the DLC, and may want to, or this may be an incentive to revisit that world, especially before they make a second one, which is probably still several years away, but chance to kind of expand on that story.
Exactly. If you guys don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know The Last of Us, because it is a fantastic game, and it was probably the year, was it last year or the year before that?
I want to say it was 2013.
It was the best game of 2013, hands down.
Yeah, it was hands down. Great story-wise.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those games where the story, you kept playing to know the story. You wanted to know what happened. You wanted to see how this happened. You know, it's just a fantastic game. It's actually being made into a movie, which is awesome as well.
Yeah, so, and isn't Arya cast as the main girl?
Yeah, Mari Williams, who plays Arya Stark, is casted as the girl from The Last of Us.
Who she just seems like a perfect fit for that role.
Oh, she really does. She would definitely play it well. And they haven't casted who Joel is going to be yet.
That's going to be an important casting.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who he will be. It's a great game. You know, obviously the part of The Left Behind, which is the DLC, takes part, you know, before the story, like how, you know, she got bitten and stuff like that. And then the rest of it takes place mid-game where she's taking care of Joel as he got stabbed or fell onto a piece of metal.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, is that it's part prequel, but then also part of the main story plot is the timeline it takes place during.
Yeah, and the weird thing is the whole game you play Ellie. The whole entire game, you never play anybody else but Ellie.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. So, like, you know, there's no Joel. Joel is, when you are with Joel, Joel's obviously hurt and unconscious, but you play Ellie, and then you play Ellie as, you know, before she even knew Joel when she first got bit.
I mean, and the roles when you did play as Ellie in the main game were interesting, but I'm just wondering if that would be too much Ellie at once playing her for the entire storyline of The Left Behind.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's not that bad. When I have played of it, it is very good. It does take a little toll, like when you have to go around certain things. You don't get many weapons. You do get weapons when you're with Joel, obviously, because you've used them before. But before then, you're kind of like, you know, going through this place, trying to do it the best of your ability as Ellie. You know?
Yeah, almost kind of more like a hide and move type of a thing,
exactly,
as opposed to a fighting and.
Yeah, so you're not going to be shiving clickers, you know what I mean? You're not going to be doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she hasn't developed that skill set yet.
No.
And what was also kind of nice is that they actually dropped the price for this too, making a standalone.
Yeah, so originally it was $20 for the DLC, which, you know, wasn't that bad. You got a lot of stuff. You got actually that. You got more multiplayer, which, to be honest, even though the multiplayer, I didn't play the multiplayer.
In a game like that, it's like, I don't really know why you're bothering to add a multiplayer in, because it's always going to feel like a thrown-in thing, especially a game like that where it's more story-centric as opposed to action-centric.
Yeah, the multiplayer isn't really that great of a... I mean, it's a cool little add-on, whatever, if you want to do it. I tried it like once, I think, since I bought in the game. It's not a big thing for me. However, like, they gave you, like, wallpaper and stuff like that for PS3 when you bought the DLC or whatever. I mean, whatever. Like, stupid little things.
Yeah, just little extra add-ons.
Yeah, but apparently for this, they lowered it to $10. So you're paying $10 for just the Left Behind standalone DLC game.
Yeah, and you can still buy as DLC for the game, and they've dropped the prices of that to $10 as well.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of cool. That no matter what, now you can get it for $10. So if you went from PS3 and you went on PS4 going, damn, I want to play this, but I want to stay on my PS4, you can just download it now as an individual game. You don't have to worry about having the game as well.
Now, I'm not sure about this, if the remastered version of the Left Behind or of the Last of Us game includes the DLC or not.
It actually did, and apparently it's gone down to $20 for the remastered. So if you have, if you don't have the game whatsoever, it's worth it just to buy The Last of Us remastered on PS4.
Yeah, so kind of the standalone for PS4 really is just for people who played it on PS3, upgraded to a PS4, and never played the DLC.
Yeah, pretty much.
At that point, I'd almost just buy the remastered version just to have the whole game and the DLC in case I want to play through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Point.
I mean, if I had the PS3 version, and yeah, I might. If I'm going to go to PS4, I might as well just pay and buy the remastered for an extra $10.
Yeah, and they've been packaging that into all the bundles with PS4 anyways. So odds are if you do pick up a PS4, it'll be included.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true, actually. They've been with every single bundle I've seen. It's Last of Us remastered, so... And it's down to $20. Yeah, you might as well. You either already have it, or you should just buy it. So, I mean, it's a good thing in theory, especially if you have a PS3, actually. It's awesome if you haven't got it yet.
Yeah, because I haven't played the DLC for that.
Yeah, and you have a PS3, so yeah. It's good for you. It's definitely be more convenient for you, especially since I'm outing you, but you borrowed my copy.
I did, and so. For $10 to kind of re-enter that world and get some more story, that's very tempting.
Yeah, exactly. So it definitely would be worth it. So with that, we're on to screen news for everything TV, movies, and everything. But guess what? We have a lot of Marvel Avengers stuff this week, obviously.
As we seem to every week.
Every week. Everything Disney and Marvel and everything. It's all the TV is now. That's actually good. So we're going to start with our review of Avengers, The Age of Ultron. So we saw Avengers yesterday, and I will say, well, let's first hop on to last week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's do this in order, Tristan.
Yeah, because this had some good lead-ins too, especially in the last kind of 10 minutes of the episode, some nice lead-ins to the new movie.
Yeah, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last week. It's now been almost a full week, so we will apologize for any spoilers we give for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but obviously we'll try more not to give spoilers for Age of Ultron than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, since it just opened.
So, you know, the lesser of two evils here. All right, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there was some great stuff that happened in that. We obviously had the Sky returned, obviously, and we had all of the originals from the first season back together, working together for the first time.
And I like that they even called it out. I think it was Ward said, like, hey, the whole band's back together again.
Yeah, and then they just stared at him and gave him dirty looks because they hate him so much.
But that was fun to see the original group back together again, working on a mission.
No, it definitely was. It definitely like put you back to like when they all first started and everything. Which I mean, to be honest, like I'll be honest, the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't as strong. I mean, you had a lot of trouble there with the universe it was. It didn't pick up until after the events of Winter Soldier.
Yeah, before that, it was just kind of doing a Monster of the Week type of thing. It's like it wasn't bad, and it kind of gave the Marvel fix for on a weekly basis. It was enjoyable in that manner, but it's really gotten a lot better since Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so obviously there was some lead-ins to Avengers. They started off with they mentioned the twins. And obviously there was actually people from that were Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last week that were in Avengers, which was kind of cool, like one of the doctors.
Yeah.
Who was like, what about the twins? You know, their location isn't known.
And then he was also in the after-credit sequence in Winter Soldier as well.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
So that's fun to see him carry over from the movie to the TV universe and then back to the movie universe.
Yeah. So obviously the lead-in, obviously, we'll talk more about the lead-in to Avengers because there was a lot that happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it was more of, you know, the regular basis of, you know, let's get Sky, let's hopefully try to go in and, like, make sure everything's, you know.
Yeah, so they're trying to rescue Deathlok and, is it Lucas?
Lincoln. They're trying to rescue Lincoln and Deathlok, which they do, obviously.
Yeah, and they're being held at a Hydra facility.
Yeah, so they go in and try to get them. I'm going to be honest, the big surprise for me in that episode was Simmons. Her trying to kill Ward.
Yeah, she's had a major turnaround in personality and character this season.
Yeah, it like really like starting off with the whole Sky thing where she was like, you know, whoever these people are, we just have to, it's for our right to destroy them and get them. She's like, what?
Yeah, you know? Like her personality ever since she and Fitz were pushed out front into the tank, into the ocean, has changed a lot.
Yeah, and to be honest, it was Fitz that really got hurt. So like, it's kind of like,
yeah, so her turnaround has been very dramatic, and Ward even says in that episode, it's like, you've changed.
Yeah, because, like, she didn't get away with killing him, obviously, but, you know, all right, so the big lead-in, obviously, here was that the flower-dressed woman, who now is all spiky-headed.
Yeah.
She basically has a vision of, like, Loki's scepter and everything.
And then the real mission behind why Coulson wanted to invade that facility was to steal some files, and those files contained information on Loki's scepter as well.
Yeah, and where it was and where that base was, which brings us right into the Avengers, because as the very beginning of the Avengers movie, that's where they went. It was them going there.
So this isn't a spoiler, but basically the very start of the Avengers movie is a battle, which was kind of unexpected, is that it just jumps into a battle.
And it's basically going right to the base where Coulson was trying to get the information for where the base was.
And then also the whole question of what is Theta Protocol that they've been asking for the last several episodes is finally revealed at the end of the episode when he's talking to Agent Hill. And that is Theta Protocol is the Avengers.
Yeah, the Avengers basically taking out all these Hydra bases, and this is the one they were looking for to get Loki's scepter back.
Yeah, and that was kind of an odd thing I thought about the beginning of Ultron is we end the first Avengers movie with everyone going off on their own direction. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, yep, the band's back together again.
So, yeah, I felt like it should have been a little smoother. We're obviously now going right into Avengers. It would have been a lot smoother if they actually like had it like them coming together to go to the Hydra base. But I guess, I mean, it made sense for us because we watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was like, bam, right there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right where that left off, go to that. But for somebody who doesn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was very, you know, bam, right there in your face.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's you don't really have that gap closed of like, okay, what have they been doing since the Avengers? Where have they been? What have they been doing? All of a sudden, they're just all together in a battle. So I didn't really like that they just kind of dumped you right into a battle with everyone together.
Yeah, it was very, it felt, yeah, especially with like the Hulk and Black Widow with the lullaby thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that came out of nowhere, and she said, in that after that scene, like, oh, this was the most successful the lullaby has been. So obviously it's something they've been using for a while. Yeah, and they have a code name for him. Is this a Code Green situation?
Yeah, because they were saying like this was like not the first Hydra base they've taken. So like obviously Avengers have been taking other Hydra bases and stuff
like
that. Yeah,
and
so.
How long has Thor been back working with them? So they've been doing this for a little while. So that felt very sudden and a little jarring.
I will say that one thing that, like, and they have talked about this on the Blu-ray extended cut that's coming out, which we will talk about because they've already announced the Blu-ray extended cut with its alternate ending, was they cut a scene with Loki, and I kind of really wish that I had shown that because I kind of want to see what Loki's been up to because last time we saw Loki, he was disguising himself as Odin and running Asgard.
Yeah, so what has he been doing in the meantime? Has he been found out? What has he been cast out of Asgard again?
Is he still running it? You know, like, I kind of want to know these things.
So I wonder if those are questions that will be left until the next Thor movie, which is a ways away.
Yeah, those are ways away. I mean, that's 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a little ways until the next Thor movie. So
we might not see Tom Hiddleston until then again in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, that'd be kind of crazy. All right, but speaking back up to Avengers, like, obviously, we got introduced to Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. So very cool characters there. The whole scene where you opened up when Tony Stark came in and he opened up and you see the big thing from the first Avengers movie.
The Stark Tower?
No, not the Stark Tower. Inside the facility where they broke into and you see the big creature.
Oh, yeah. I forget what those things were called. But, yeah, basically the giant fish creature, flying fish thing.
And it's like right there, and he looks at it, and you can see if you watch Iron Man 3, you can kind of see the hint of like little anxiety he still has from going into space. And then obviously Scarlet Witch did her whole
mind control,
made him see some stuff, and like she did that, ended up doing that with everybody at some point. I don't want to give too much away, but overall, like, you know, that was kind of cool the way that happened, and especially, you know, as you've seen in the trailers, it's no surprise to the Hulk.
Yeah. But they did some nice tie-ins with the first movie in that way.
I feel like this one had a lot better character development and a lot more, like, talking with the characters and a lot more. Like, there was a party scene. I felt I could have stayed in that scene for – I could have watched 2 hours of that.
I enjoyed that. It was all the different characters all together in the same room interacting.
Yeah,
because we didn't really get a lot of that through the first Avengers film because it was a lot of that film was the assembling of the team.
Yeah, and it was a lot of just bang, boom, let's get them, you know, stop this, yeah.
And what I did like about this movie, too, is it focused a lot on Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye all of a sudden became more Mr. America than Captain America.
Yeah, so we won't give any details of his storyline, but we learn a bunch about his past, his current situation, so we get to see a human side of him, which is really good.
He all of a sudden became Mr. Stand-Up, Mr. Right, more than even Cap, so it kind of, you know, was a little interesting seeing that.
Well, I mean, he was almost kind of the Coulson of this movie, isn't that he's the one that helps, like, bind the team together and bring them back together once they've fallen apart.
Yeah, true, yeah.
So that was kind of his role in this film.
Yeah, it really is. Ultron, in general, as a villain, I did enjoy Ultron. I felt like I enjoyed him earlier when they gave him a mouth and was able to move. That kind of, I don't know. I mean, I liked it, but at the same time, I felt it would have been more menacing to have just the original Ultron face with, like, just the red, like, moving lights as a mouth, not a moving mouth, you know?
Yeah, because he's a robot. He doesn't need a mouth.
Yeah.
He's not projecting sound through vocal cords. He just has a speaker somewhere in his metal head.
Yeah, exactly. He was funny, but he's a little too funny sometimes for a villain.
Yeah, especially for like an AI villain where it's like, okay, you're not human, you're a computer program, but you have quite the sense of humor.
Yeah, and I felt like
he would crack some lines and whatnot, which would made sense when they came from Loki, but not as much when it came from Ultron.
Yeah, and his lines are more like Tony Stark. So it makes sense because in the film, Tony Stark created him.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But at the same time, you're trying to make this menacing AI. I felt he was more scarier in the opening party scene.
Yeah.
Which everybody sees in the credit, the trailer, obviously. And, like, that was really menacing when he was, like, half-made, dripping, you know. Like,
yeah, basically he was barely held together and torn apart, but he was speaking menacingly and powerful. And, yeah. That was more powerful than his final form.
Yeah, exactly. So I felt like when he actually did this whole thing and gave himself, like, a mouth and these eyes and everything, it was just kind of like, it didn't make him as menacing.
Yeah, and the other thing I didn't like about this film is I watched the first Avengers a couple days before I saw this. And then all the big battle sequences in Ultron just felt like rehashes of the first Avengers. Because basically, instead of being invaded by an army from another galaxy, you're being invaded by an army of robots. So it's very similar scenes of just them fighting off massive waves of robots that Ultron created, as opposed to massive waves of an army from space. So it just felt too similar for all the battle scenes. It's like, all right, we've seen this before. It's them fighting wave after wave after wave.
I agree with you. However, I will say that they changed just enough sometimes where it still was okay. I'm gonna say this because so far it seems like we're just in the movie. I love the movie. It was great.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I didn't like it as much as the first Avengers movie, but it was still really enjoyable.
That's normal with most films. You never really like the sequel as much as other ones. However, I love the movie. However, they did rehash some things, but I felt like they changed things enough where, like, the rehashing, like, I still enjoyed it. I didn't mind it. Like, it was enough of a rehash to, like, you know, still go, oh, yeah, like, look at them all in a circle again.
Yeah.
However, you've added Scarlet Witch, you've added Quicksilver, you know, you have, like, there's some little other things in there.
It's like, I would have liked to see more of that, you know, more of Scarlet Witch, more of Quicksilver. And the other thing that just felt like rehash too is like, okay, here we're in another city that's being invaded. We have to protect all these civilians again. It's like, okay, we've seen this before. So, like, those things just felt too familiar.
Yeah.
It would have been nice. What I really did like is all the stuff they did with the Vision.
Yeah, the Vision was a very cool new hero. We're not going to give away a lot on the Vision because the Vision is a big part of the film. Mm-hmm. And I know people probably don't want to hear too many spoilers on this.
Yeah, but they did show the Vision in the trailer and whatnot. So the Vision is in the film. And I really liked how they did the Vision in this.
Yeah, and they definitely sync all up to go to Infinity Gauntlet, which is really cool. You know, obviously that's going to be one of the next Avengers movie, if not, like, the last Avengers movie. We're not sure yet.
That is the last part of Phase 3, is the two Infinity Gauntlet movies.
Actually, no. The last part of Phase 3 is Inhumans.
Oh, okay.
Because it goes Infinity Gauntlet 1 and 2 and then Inhumans, which, obviously, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're already on Inhumans.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little crazy. And apparently Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are Inhumans, not mutants, because, you know, they don't own the rights to X-Men.
Yeah, because Fox still has the rights to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I'm going to be honest, the movie was great. It was fantastic. I'm not dissing the movie. There was some things, obviously, they could work on as a sequel, but overall, it was great.
Yeah, it's like mostly nitpicks, not as good as First Avengers, but if you're a fan, you'll enjoy it. It was a good time.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm ready to see it again. I'll see it again already. Like, it is definitely – I will say this. I love The Avengers. It's a very good movie. However, I felt like I liked Guardians of the Galaxy more. I mean, I'll be honest.
I mean, you have a more varied cast with that, too.
And, exactly.
And Guardians is a little bit more lighthearted, a little bit more humorous.
But it makes me excited, especially with we will say this. There is no end credit scene. I know there's a lot of talk about, like, oh, Spider-Man thing. They actually put out a How This Was Made video already, actually, on that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. So there is no end credit scene. There's a mid-credit scene, as usual. There's no end credit scene.
Yeah, so it's not worth staying till the very end of the film.
But it does build it up for the Infinity Gauntlet, which is a great. And then it'll be exciting to see the Avengers with Guardians together.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those two end up linking up together. Yeah. But that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I am very excited for Infinity Gauntlet, like, when that comes out. We have a long way to go till then, 2018.
Yeah, just the time span this whole thing's going to go for once it's done is unreal. So from 2008 to 2019, just like an 11-year span of planning is unreal.
Yeah, plus you have to think about how many heroes there aren't even out right now that are going to be in it. You have Ant-Man, you have Black Panther, you have Doctor Strange. You know, you have all these other heroes that are probably going to be a part of this.
Yeah, which makes you wonder, how are they going to manage screen time for that many people?
Yeah,
already in this one, it felt they were kind of pushing it, and you didn't really get the focus on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, they had War Machine in this one, which is a cool addition to see. Falcon was in there for a little bit, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, they were in there for just kind of bit parts. I don't know if that was because of availability or just maybe they were part of the
I felt War Machine was in there a lot longer than others. He took a big part, which was cool.
Yeah, Falcon was very minor, but at the same time, it was still nice to see those characters in it again.
Oh, exactly, yeah. So it'll be cool to see that, especially we'll probably see most of them in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, Avengers Age of Ultron, great movie. I will definitely see it again, probably in theaters one more time at least. I'm not going to rush it, but I'll probably see it one more time.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that again. Just the action scenes were really well done. Like, the CGI was good. Overall, high quality. And also the last Josh Whedon Avengers movie we'll be seeing.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually sad. His writing, because Joss Whedon's writing is amazing. That was like one of the highlights, but like the party scene I was talking about, I could have watched it the whole time because of Joss Whedon's writing.
Yeah, and he does a lot of good jobs of like, you know, putting little quips and whatnot and not making them cheesy or adding in a little extra character stuff in the middle of a battle. He's very good at that type of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely, overall, we'll have to see how the next Avengers is without him, but hopefully they'll do it justice and, you know, it'll be really great, but it'll be sad to see Joss Whedon go. So the other news with Age of Ultron, I will give Age of Ultron 4 out of 5 stars. That is my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd do like the first Avengers probably 5 out of 5, and then this is 4 out of 5.
So hopefully the Infinity Gauntlet will be 5 out of 5 and not 3 out of 5, because that would be very disappointing to all this build up for that. So the next thing would be the Age of Ultron Blu-ray. Like we just said, the extended cut and with the alternate ending was announced.
Yeah, so this was revealed probably by accident from an email from Amazon UK. Basically, they're sending emails out to customers saying like, oh, the DVD and Blu-ray are available to pre-order, and they'll include an extended cut and an alternate ending.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, especially with the Loki cutscene too. So that'll be on the alternate cut as well.
Yeah, and there were rumors that the first rough cut of the film was over 3 hours long.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously they have to trim it down, but I when it comes to alternate cuts and long cuts, I mean, so far the only one I've really appreciated and liked is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, because they did a good job with Lord of the Rings and filling in a lot more of the story in those extended editions.
I mean, hopefully this will be good. I'm excited, actually. If there's a Loki scene cut, like, it's like, what? You know, like...
That'd be huge. I feel, though, if there was a Loki scene cut, they wouldn't even include that in the extended edition.
I really hope they would. I mean, I hope it's something that, you know, that people would want to see, and I think that would make more people want to buy it, so I think they would.
Yeah, I wonder how that would work, though, because, you know, they're signed up for contracts for X number of movies. If he didn't premiere in the theatrical version, but he appeared in an extended cut on the Blu-ray DVD, if that would count as an appearance.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, because I think in Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Saruman was only in the extended cut for Return of the King.
Yeah, but I don't think that would really count in this situation because that was the last film of the trilogy. They didn't know they'd be doing The Hobbit yet, as opposed for this, where Samuel Jackson is already under contract for 2 more films. So with this, if Tom Hiddleston was under contract for 3 more films and he appeared in that, if that would count as an appearance, then he would only have 2 more and they'd have to renegotiate if they wanted
to
do another
movie. That's true, actually, worth contract negotiations, yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder if they shot a scene with him, it didn't go into the film, that wouldn't count as an appearance, I wouldn't think, because it didn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they already had a plan that was an appearance, so it was part of his contract, but...
Maybe,
yeah.
Or it might be there's something in the contract where it only counts if it's in the, you know, actual theatrical release.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I do buy, when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I do buy them all on Blu-ray. So it is, like, the only films I buy on Blu-ray now. I will buy Age of Ultron, probably extended cut. I mean, I might as well.
Yeah, well, I hope it's just like, you know, they have one release of Age of Ultron. It includes an extended cut, an alternate ending, and a theatrical, not it's a
I think
separate
it
package.
Will. I think it will. It seems like that's the type of film where it would do that.
Yeah.
Like, you could choose theatrical or extended.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to see what they would do for a different ending, if it would be like a huge major shift or just be kind of a couple little things are different.
Yeah. So that was Age of Ultron. Great movie overall. You guys need to get out there and see it. But now, obviously, we weren't here last week. We know you've seen episode 4, but we're going to do episode 3 of Game of Thrones.
Yes, we are.
We will, on Friday and Thursday, we will do episode 4. Don't worry, guys. But for now, we'll do episode four, three. Sorry, yeah. Three.
So a good amount of stuff happened in this episode.
Yeah, it's true. We're getting more and more into the story. I will be honest. Personally, I think it's going a little slow. But
yeah, I mean, this is only the third episode in, and from what I've heard from other people, is the start of this season was almost halfway through one of the books. So that's almost why you're already starting kind of mid-story. And starting with this episode, they seem to be deviating quite a bit from the books.
Oh, yeah, it definitely seems it. Like, they're really going far from the books, it seems like.
Yeah, but they kind of touched all the major people. Like, Jon Snow played a good part in this role, in this episode.
Yeah, he refused to take Stannis' offer to name him a Stark.
Which is kind of huge, because he said himself, you know, that's what he's dreamed of ever since he was a little boy, is to be a Stark.
Yeah, he wants to take, you know, revenge, obviously, for his family, like, against Lord Bolton, and, like, you know... To do that, getting named Stark and then taking over as, you know, Lord of the North would definitely help out with that.
Yeah, but then the end of the previous episode, he was just voted to be the new Lord Commander of Castle, or of the Night's Watch.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of mixed stuff going on there.
Well, there was a great scene with Stannis in there saying, you know, you're as stubborn as your father, and he took that as a compliment. He's like, no, that wasn't meant to be a compliment because it got him killed.
Yeah. And you know that Stannis actually respects, you know, Jon Snow, just like he respected his father.
Oh, yeah. He sees a lot of his father in him and his stubbornness, but also his devotion to loyalty.
Yeah.
And what he believes in.
You know, obviously we know Ned Stark was loyal to Stannis. Like, he gave him a letter saying, I support Stannis' claim. He is the rightful heir to the throne. And Stannis knows that, and I think that's why he wants Jon there and, like, you know.
Well, and also he knows he needs a Stark if he's going to get the support of the North.
Exactly.
To head south for King's Landing.
Yeah, so it all comes down to, like, you know, all right, his father laid my claim. And then, you know, I need a Stark to run the North. And they've made the Stark so angry, the Lannisters and the Boltons, if I can get a Stark to join me, they'd come on my side.
Yeah, and then just in Jon in general, he sees someone who can lead, who can inspire, and someone who would be a good leader.
Oh, especially when he beheaded Jonas Stend. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great scene. So he, you know, gives Jonas orders to go to another castle and help revamp it. He refuses, and so... You know, this is his first orders as the new Lord Commander. He can't let someone disobey a direct order.
Yeah, so he, like, kicks him out to behead him, and he starts crying, and he's like, you know, don't do it, don't do it.
And for a moment, I thought Jon wasn't going to be able to do it, because he's been in that situation before where he's been told to take someone's life in cold blood.
And he refuses, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that happened with Ygritte.
Yeah, Ygritte's taking
the life of a
woman. It's a
different situation.
Yeah, it's just...
But it's still the same thing. It's like, you know, okay, he was given orders to kill her.
Yeah. And Stannis watched. That's the other thing. Stannis watched this.
Yeah, and he gave, like, a little approving nod right afterwards. And so, it was very much, it was a nice kind of harken back to the first episode of Game of Thrones where Ned Stark beheads someone who ran away from the Night's Watch.
That is true, yeah.
You know, saying it's like, you know, if you decree... the judgment, you have to carry it out. You can't let someone else carry it out for you.
You have to swing the sword. Mm-hmm. And you, like, you know, he was taking that almost from his father, like, you know.
I really enjoyed that scene, and, you know, kind of hearkening back to Ned Stark's lessons.
Yeah. So the other person we saw was Arya. So she began her training, and obviously, you know, for the Faceless Men.
Yeah, to become nobody.
Yeah, to become nobody. But the scene where he asks who she is, and, like, you're obviously Arya Stark. You have Arya Stark's clothes.
Yeah.
Like, so he really wants her to become nobody.
Yeah, so in order to do that, she has to forget her past and who she is. And we see her step towards that. She gets rid of all her clothes and everything, but she ends up hiding Needle. She can't, you know, break that connection since Jon Snow gave that to her.
Yeah, and, like, it's the only piece, like, of her family, her brother, she has. So, like, she wants the key, hang on to it no matter what, so she hides it.
Yeah, so I wonder if we'll end up seeing that come back up later in some way, or if that's something that will be a symbolic gesture, but then we won't see anything come of it.
Yeah, so the other thing we had with her was, not her, the other new character we had was the High Sparrow.
Yeah.
Played by Jonathan Pryce.
Yeah, who it took me a moment to realize him, but he was the main villain in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yes, he was the world's news reporter, or head of the World News Corporation.
Yeah. No, so, he's great. He's a good actor.
Yeah, so it was interesting to see him because of how, you know, he works, and then his conversation with Cersei was definitely a little interesting.
Yeah, and she's almost kind of seeing, because she's trying to rebuild her power base, basically, and sees him as a possibility of doing that.
She basically wants to rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wants to rule. She doesn't want Tommen to rule. She wants to rule in Tommen instead and, like, pretend that Tommen's saying these things almost.
Yeah, because Tommen has yet to take part in the small council, and whenever anyone is asked, it's like, oh, he has other duties he needs to attend to, and has asked me to, you know, be his voice for him.
Which you know is total bullcrap.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't want to be the queen mother. She wants to be the queen and rule.
Yeah, rule completely. And she's no. And the fact is, in this episode, she's no longer the queen.
No.
Because Tommen and Marjorie got married. Yes. In this episode, she's no longer the queen now.
And Marjorie even made a little quip. It's like, what do I refer to you as? The queen mother or the queen regent, which she was before?
Yeah. So there's definitely like a little backlash, and I think that's going to come back now.
Yeah, and
at some point
we're seeing power slip away from her since her father died. Like, everyone else knows it too, that, like, okay, the main power behind that family has left.
Yeah, and you even see it with her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Lord Tywin's brother, and like he says, you know, if the king gives me an order, let me know and I'll come back.
Yeah, but he can give it to me in person.
Yeah.
Because basically she's kind of stacked the small council with just fools so far, and he's not one who will just, you know, listen to whatever she says blindly.
Yeah, so he definitely leaves for Castle Rock. And, yeah. At one point there was actually a conversation about the queen going to Castle Rock, Cersei.
Yeah.
Because through Marjorie, Tommen was told to, you know, why doesn't your mother go back to Castle Rock?
Yeah, basically, you'll always be her little boy in her eyes, even though he's king. Like, yeah. She has been very good at playing this game with everyone she's been with. So she knows what she wants to be, she knows the power she wants to have, and she knows how to twist and manipulate people.
Oh, it's definitely true. The other thing that happened, obviously the big thing that happened, was Tyrion was kidnapped by Jorah Mormont.
Yeah, so it's been quite a while since we've seen Jorah. I don't think we've seen him since he
was basically banished by Daenerys.
And so now all of a sudden he just happens to be in the same brothel as Tyrion.
Yeah, which is very inconvenient. It's the first time he steps out of his wagon there because he's tired of being in a box.
Yeah, and we won't spoil this, but it was my debate I was having, like, okay, so who is he bringing Tyrion to? Because Cersei offered the gift of a lordship to whoever brought her Tyrion.
Yeah, so it's very interesting in the episode to think. Obviously, you get the answer in episode 4. We're not going to tell you until Thursday or Friday's episode. But, you know, it's definitely something where, like, you're like, all right, who is he bringing him to? Is he bringing him back to Cersei? Is he bringing him back to Daenerys? You know, where is he bringing him?
Yeah, it's like, okay, has things fallen apart with Daenerys? So is he going to try to regain the holdings that he had in Westeros? Because he was previously part of a royal family.
Yeah, and he was offered by the original king, Robert, like a pardon and everything and all this stuff if he brought back the information and killed Daenerys.
Which is why he was spying for him.
Exactly, and got him into the situation in the first place. So overall, episode 3 was a great episode. I did enjoy it. It has gotten slow, but hopefully that'll pick up, you know, within the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, after this one that just had 4, we're on 5. That's halfway through already. It goes by way too fast.
Yeah, and it feels like they're setting up a battle because also in this episode, Jon Snow asked Stannis, you know, how long will you be staying here? Because, well, we can't feed you. Winter is coming, and Stannis also has other business. So it seems like he's going to be marching soon and heading off to battle, either to take back Winterfell and try to take over the north.
Yeah, so, and we'll have to see if Jon goes with them or what Jon decides to do. Obviously, I feel like Game of Thrones is the thing where whatever you want to happen doesn't happen. So I feel like Jon's going to stay at Castle Black.
Yep.
He's not going to bother with this. He's not going to take his name, and he's just going to go on from there, and that's it.
Yep. The people you don't want to die will die. The people you want to die will live forever.
Yes, and where you want people to go and get together will never happen.
Thanks, George.
Exactly. So obviously this is a little late, but Saturday was Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
So that was awesome. I don't know if you guys took part of that. They had some great, they had a Doctor Who 3 Doctor crossover exclusive, which was kind of cool.
Did you read through that already?
I have not read through it yet. It looks pretty cool. I'm excited to kind of read it. There was a bunch of, there was an Inhuman Zero and a Secret Wars Zero, which will lead up to the Secret Wars and Inhumans that are going to go on in the cinematic universe. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, the Secret Wars thing that's supposed to be happening this summer should be interesting because it seems like they're going to bring the Marvel comic universe to be more in line with the cinematic universe. Because right now they're kind of the two different things.
Yeah, so it seems like they're trying to pretty much merge everything to be connected. So if you watch the cinematic universe, you're going to want to go to the comics and maybe read a little extra, stuff like that.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense because right now for most people, their introduction to these Marvel characters and whatnot have probably been through the films as opposed to the comics.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Then you have all these new potential comic fans who are fans of the films. But mm-hmm. then if you're a fan of the films and you go to the comics and it's completely different, you're going to be like, well, why is this different? So,
yeah,
it's really smart that they would bring both in line.
Yeah, and it'll be kind of cool to see. I'm definitely going to read through some of them and see what happens and so on and so forth. But basically, you know, Free Comic Book Day, if you didn't do it this year, make sure you do it next year. It's the first Saturday of every May. Some awesome comics. Every year they have something different.
Yeah, they do like some unique stuff that only gets put out that day, like the Doctor Who thing. I'm sure will be a unique thing for this year.
Yep, and you know, usually comics shops have different artist signings and stuff like that. I know near me they'd had New England Comics. They had the creator and signing for the Tick. He was signing comic books and everything by there, and you know, some cool stuff going on.
Yeah, and last year they had one of the artists from the Buffy comics there, and usually they do like a lot of good deals on Free Comic Book Day too, because I picked up the Days of Future Past storyline in comics last year just because they had it cheap.
Yeah, definitely you get some good deals on, you know, the graphic novels and other comics too, because they usually have big sales. So speaking of picking up things, we have our Loot Crate winner.
Yes. Okay. So last episode we put out a little contest with a couple rewards from the Loot Crate we got, and we want you to tell us how you would bring Boba Fett back into the Star Wars universe. And so the best response we got was from Mr. Charles Dio from New York. And his idea for bringing Boba Fett back was he should be fished out of the Sarlacc pit, but most of his body should be dissolved. The only organic parts they salvage are his brain and his tongue. Then they can make him into the episode titular character of the AD Police Files episode, The Man Who Bites His Tongue, which I hadn't heard of this animated before, but
really,
it looks interesting.
I don't really follow anime as much, so, like, I mean, I'll have to look into it, but...
Yeah, this was, like, an early 90s anime, and the storyline of it looks interesting, so I have to look this up later. But then to continue, with the rest of his body being a robot, a killer death robot that can put IG-88... to shame.
If you guys don't know, IG-88 is basically a bounty hunter robot from Star Wars, but it's really kind of lame.
Yeah.
But he's all right. I mean, he, you know, uses a gun, he shoots. He doesn't have a lot of, in the Star Wars movie universe, he doesn't really do a lot.
No, he doesn't really do anything. So it'd be kind of cool if they did have a killer robot, but that had the brain and tongue of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
He loses touch with reality, and biting his tongue is the only thing that reminds him he's human. His captors inject drugs into his tongue in an attempt to control him, but he totally goes insane, breaks loose, and is totally obsessed with killing Han, Chewie, and Luke. Perfect for the grimdark reboot nobody really wants. Boba Fett, he's more machine than man now.
All right.
I really like this idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, it kind of makes him a more advanced, you know, mostly machine Darth Vader type of a thing, and I think that would be fun.
Yep.
How would you bring him back?
I think I'd stick, if anything, they should stick with the whole book plot line, because I think the book had it better, like where it, obviously we said for the contest you couldn't submit it, but for the book, like they had a bounty hunter, Dengar, fish him out of the Starlight Pit like a couple days, like a day or so after. And he just, like, healed him back up to health. I mean, you don't need anything really big, especially if you didn't go all the way down.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take the robot chicken way out, where he just flies out.
Yeah.
But
jetpack.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be fun to see him, like, through some sort of circumstances, he's taken out and then frozen in carbonite in order to sustain him and keep him from dying. And it's just kind of that little symmetry with Han, and, you know, 30 years later he gets defrosted from the carbonite.
Yeah, that's true. That would work too.
So
yeah.
I think that would be kind of a fun way.
I mean, he is a clone, so I mean, you could do the whole clone way as well, like just clone, like his memories are implanted or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But so congrats to Charles.
Yeah, we'll get that stuff sent out to you.
Yep, and that's probably going to do it for this week, or not this week, today. And we will have another episode for you guys on Thursday. Obviously, this has been Nerdspastics.
Thanks for joining us.
Yep. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, you can email us at nerdspastics@gmail.com. Don't forget to like us on Nerdspastics on Facebook and on Twitter. Obviously, and also, guys, this will be our 8th episode. Episode 1 will be taken down from Podomatic. If you guys want to listen to any back episodes from now on, any back episodes will be on YouTube, on the Nerdspastics YouTube channel. If you just type in Nerdspastics on YouTube, you can find episode 1 and such. So every week from now on, an older episode will be taken down. But they will be available, and they will be on YouTube. So if you do want to listen, if you want to download now for the older episodes, just so you have them. As always, I'm Sean.
And I'm Tristan.
All right, thanks for joining us, guys.
I don't want to go.